Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, Liverpool are through to the final of the Club World Cup after beating Monterrey by 2-1. This is the final word. I am Paul Machin. That man next to me is Mr. Chris Pajak. Hi Chris.
Hi mate. How many Christmas jumpers have you got, mate?
I've got a full selection of Christmas jumpers this year.
This is looking pretty cool. Like, you might even be getting me slightly festive.
Yeah.
Yesterday's just... one hasn't been top though.
No, I know.
That's good.
Don't get me wrong, this one cost me a lot more money because of the whole Star Wars license thing. But I've got my Red Men one, I've got my Threads for Reds one, I've got my Grey one, I've got this one, and then I've still got like a t-shirt somewhere.
Should we talk amongst ourselves?
Yeah, I mean...
Where's your festive spirit, boys?
Well, I mean, we've put one piece of tinsel in the studio, so...
Listen, Ben, just because you've come as a 60s French mime doesn't mean that we have to, you know, we can't all celebrate Christmas in the same way. John Machin, Ben Kelly joined us as well. Obviously desperate for attention over there on the couch. We'll hand over to them, shall we? Dad, it was a really, really weird game of football last night. I think I expected it to be far more comfortable, but ultimately it was.
But if you look back at all our games in the last year, they've been exactly the same, haven't they?
Finished 2-1, late winner, struggled at times.
Yeah, since that, since Origi's goal against Everton last Christmas, Christmas jumper thing, but that's what we've done. We've always scored in the last minute. Why should that be any different?
I know. I think Ben,
I was surprised by Monterrey. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, they had a game plan. I think, you know, it was get men behind the ball when you're defending, and you know, play long, hit the channels, get in behind the fullbacks, and you know, simplistic, but it caused us problems. And when Liverpool have got a makeshift defence out and a makeshift midfield to some extent as well, our aim was hopefully, I think, to blow them away, and it didn't quite materialise.
No, I think obviously playing Henderson at centre back, you know, our standard back four, if you like, are very well drilled at this point in playing that high line and playing the offside trap. Obviously, there was no real way for Monterrey to know that Henderson was going to play centre back. They'll have been working on that game plan anyway, but it probably played into their hands a little bit that, you know, being able to play that ball over the top, there was always going to be one or two times where the timing wasn't going to be quite right, and the likes of Funes Mori or, you know, I think that number 8 who was their captain, like, might have been able to get over the top.
So really had a go saying his name there, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I thought the same, but I can't remember.
No, Pavon. I can't remember either. The one he was shooting.
I was going to say Favon, so I was good to shut up.
The one he was shooting from anywhere. So you know, there were moments where we didn't look great, you know, at times. But that is what's going to happen when you're playing, a centre midfielder at centre back. I thought for the most part, Jordan Henderson did okay. But then behind them, we had Alisson, who had a great game and got us out of some situations sometimes. So, you know, onwards and upwards.
There's also the fact that, and I don't know whether, I think Klopp's mentioned this a few weeks ago and stuff, is you get a feeling it was worse than it was because loads of them were offside. But because Alisson gets there or the shot's missed, the free kick's not given.
The flag doesn't go up.
So you get a sense that they were through probably six more times than they actually would have been.
Got a corner from an offside situation. Yes. Yeah. Their guy's offside, he's interfering, he lets it go. Trent, I think it's Trent, is it? Maybe he's forced to defend it and it goes out for the corner. He's offside. You just got, and that's another, it's causing us a problem. You're dead right. I think we've had countless of these situations. But all the same, they caused, whether it's by direct shots on goal, and they still did have a few, it was just the general feeling of being ill at ease when it's 1-1 and there's 10 minutes of a game left to go and the ball's in the box and the ball's dropping in the box.
Why are we like this, though?
God knows.
We've had this so many times this season.
Yeah.
Like, as fans,
I don't think
we've not come up
against a side who had so many shots, have we? And I think I hadn't really thought about it, but there's an awful lot of South American players in their side. And they're actually really good footballers. They're very good on the ball, got great control.
Yeah.
And they shoot on sight. I mean, and South American sides do that.
Well, it's funny.
They can all shoot.
You always used to tell me the stories about the old Brazil teams, and that was just what they were like. They tried to score from all angles.
Yeah, I mean, that was what stood out for me in the whole game, is that they were very good at getting shots away, and without Alisson, we'd have probably lost the game.
Mm.
And at any moment, they could have hit one from anywhere, and it would have been 2-1 to them. And that was the fear, rather than that. And knowing that we score late goals didn't really help, because I still thought there's always a chance they're going to smash one in.
It helped in regard for me. I did feel like we were more likely to get the winner. But the problem is that in the absence of Van Dijk and Fabinho and Gini and Henderson playing out of position and all those, and, you know, you've got Milner at fullback, you know, for a bit, you know, you never truly relaxed, because
it's not the first team, the team that have done it, I suppose.
Well, they scored a goal. They scored a goal because we were, like Klopp said, in our normal team, that's just offside, because we've just a bit more organised, and, you know, they've got in because we're not at our best.
No, look, I'm not saying that. I'm not disagreeing in any way.
I feel like they had
shots and Alisson did make saves. I recognise that, but equally, I think, from watching the last 50 minutes, I was antsy when they were in and around the area, but I also recognised that they were blowing out their arse. They had two players cramping up towards the end of the game. So actually, for all that, Liverpool's felt like the team that was most likely to score.
But at the same time, I mean, across my mind, it must have crossed everyone's mind, that we didn't want extra time. Yeah. That's the last thing we wanted. And the thought that we might actually go home without it, we've taken the whole club to Qatar and we don't get to the final. That was where the fear was for me, Ben,
is that, and again, it's where fear's always been, it's not even about the Liverpool winning and losing, it's about the reaction to it. Because you've already seen in the media of like, Liverpool shouldn't be going to this, Liverpool should be taking the League Cup seriously instead, and all this bollocks, and it's fine. We were talking about it briefly in the car last night, where we're like, you can lose a final because you can lose finals, but to go and lose the semi-final having thrown everything at it, it's just embarrassing. And that was what the fear was for me more than anything, because I couldn't be arsed dealing with the world and its reaction to Liverpool not making the final, having gone through all the stuff.
There would have been endless clickbait YouTube videos from Sky discussing the you know, did Jurgen Klopp disrespect the cup and X, Y, Z? And then, you know, just from a team perspective as well, it would have been an absolute disaster to be playing Al Hilal at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday afternoon for absolutely no reason whatsoever. I mean, it would have played the kids, obviously, but, you know, it would have been a total waste of time. And I think, you know, to get that goal, that there was a big sense of relief, to be honest, because I think from Klopp's perspective, he said in his post-match press conference, didn't he, that he was afraid of extra time. You know, nobody wanted to play an extra half an hour.
Yeah.
So there seemed to be a whole sort of sigh of relief once Firmino had put that one in.
I think he's spot on about like the media stuff. That would have been ridiculous. And yet, you know, almost that not one of them would have looked at it and gone, they played really well, Monterrey. And they're a really good side. And it would have been all heavily Liverpool focused and stuff.
Let's not forget that Man United refused to play in the FA Cup so they could play in the Club World Cup in South America.
Yeah.
You know, and probably ruin the FA Cup forever. But we've not ruined the Carabao Cup.
Because it's shit anyway.
Still bad anyway. Right? But we've not ruined, we've not done it any harm at all, except got Villa through to the semis.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of those situations, isn't it? That's what it was nearly. But I always trusted, because as much as the game wasn't going in our favour, and we caused them problems throughout, but obviously they were causing us as many problems as we were causing them. I did have that feeling throughout of like, well, it's okay, because as much as this team is weak and looks a bit disjointed, you've got the firepower on the bench. And I'm always thinking, well, you can just bring Bobby on. you can just bring Mane on, you can just bring Trent on, which is ultimately what we do. And once they were on the pitch, I mean, I know they still had a good chance toward the end, but I mean, we just had that quality in reserve, and that was the gamble, Chris. And we've done this a few times this season in rotation. We've gambled. It's worked better than it did last night. But also, I think it's part rotation and part. It was a lot about the necessity.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it. Van Dijk plays last night. You know, Van Dijk was not getting rotated if he wasn't.
No chance. And for me, you know, the difficulty that Liverpool had was probably the midfield, because you take Henderson out, and I think it's the right call to take Henderson out, and you want to rest Trent, and you've planned for how many weeks that Trent's probably going to get this game to have off, because obviously Robertson's had a little bit of time and stuff, so you're almost committed to playing Trent or leaving Trent off.
We put six then, lads who've played then, in the front three for us on the fucking pitch.
But then, this is what I'm coming on to. You look at the two-man midfield. Yeah, we've been playing 4-2-3-1, but it ain't been Lallana and Ox.
Yeah.
We've not got a DM in there, a proper DM. So you've got a centre-half who's not Virgil van Dijk with another centre-half who's not Virgil van Dijk, which means that you lose it to the power of six.
With a left-back who's not Andy Robertson.
Yeah, and a right-back who's
not Trent Alexander-Arnold.
And then all of a sudden, you're supposed to shield that back four with Lallana and Ox.
Yeah.
You're mad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. That's absolutely true. That was the thing. Look at that midfield, Dad. We effectively played, six wingers in that game? You know, I mean, obviously, Divock Origi is a centre forward by trade, but Lallana's played on the wing.
Yeah.
Keita has played on the wing. Yeah. Ox has played on the wing. We played six wingers in that game. Yeah. And in addition to that, we played, seven if you count Milner, who's been a winger as well. Jordan Henderson played it. We played a team of wingers in this game and expected us to somehow put a solid...
Two defenders. And Robbo's really a winger anyway. Why not?
Even more than that, we played nine midfield players probably. Yeah. You know, we had so many midfield players on the pitch.
Yeah.
But I don't know, some of them just didn't get up to the pace of the game, did they? I mean, Shaqiri might as well not have been on the pitch.
Yeah.
And Origi struggled the whole game, I thought, to actually get any rhythm going.
It was telling, I thought, that...
You called the moves at half-time,
yeah, didn't you? Well, I like the logic of Origi centre-forward, Shaq on the left, because he's very good at putting them balls in. We saw one for Mane's disallowed goal. Obviously, you got Wijnaldum's goal against Barcelona. That made good sense to me, but it didn't work. All of our best, most dangerous moments came from Salah being central, being between the lines of the 6-yard box. Whether it was creatively or being in dangerous positions, and as a result, the other lads just didn't. Origi had a couple of flashes, you know,
going back to the wing,
outside and whatever. But yeah, Shaqiri toiled a little bit. They all looked tired, you know, with the exception of Salah, who I thought was.
When we scored the first goal, I thought, oh, this is brilliant. We're just going to rip these to shreds. The way Keita's running free and the way Salah's playing the hold-up and that, I thought, we're just going to rip these to shreds. And then it just never worked. I mean, Salah, you know, was absolutely phenomenal, I thought, throughout the whole game. Yeah. I thought he had a brilliant game. But Keita was in and out. He did have a few good little runs.
He kept going as well. I thought it was good.
Yeah, he had less impact on the game than he should have done, I think. And he wasn't supported by Shaqiri, and Lallana was a bit lost, I thought.
Yeah,
you know. And maybe they started to worry about their attacks, because they did keep getting at us, didn't they?
There's got to be something that you look at the time difference, and I know it's not a massive time difference. When you factor in that we were the 12:30 kickoff. And Klopp likes to have them training at the time, and then essentially, and then it's like
half two.
It was half two over there.
Sorry, no.
It's half eight over there.
It was half eight over there.
Yeah.
So there's 3 hours. So it would have been 11:30.
So wait.
No, it was the other way. It would have been half five.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, you've got the early kickoff. That 12:30 kickoff, what would that have been in?
What 12:30 kickoff?
Saturday.
Half twelve kickoff on Saturday.
That would have been a 3:30 kickoff.
But then you're moving from a 12:30 to, you know, a fucking 5:30 there. But your time.
I'll get this back.
I promise you, because I'll shut up dead quick. Then the Boxing Day game helps us.
Okay.
Because that's a later kickoff.
Right.
Well, we get home and gain 3 hours.
This is. Yeah. Have you read the last chapter of Around the World in 80 Days? It's exactly like this.
Where are we? What's the time?
Although I haven't said all that, you know that Monterey's time difference is 9 hours.
I don't give a flying fuck about Monterey.
They have.
What I meant to say, right, is the time difference might have fucked us.
Yeah. They've had an extra
end. Right, so there we go.
They've had an extra game here, haven't they? So, you know, whether you want to call it acclimatisation or whatever, it's. I think ultimately the fact that Liverpool put out an 11 with a man who's never played centre half in his life, playing alongside a 21-year-old or 22-year-old centre half who's only just come back into the team with a 33-year-old midfielder, you know, playing right back with fucking Adam Lallana playing the six, we played that midfield against Genk, and Genk caused us, you know, we battered them ultimately, but they still causes loads of problems. It didn't look that midfield. You didn't look at that and go, "That's our midfield from now on."
I saw Ox and Cater and I thought that's fine. But then with Shaqiri, that just didn't. That was what got me. I wanted something a little bit more umphy than Shaqiri.
Yeah, it was just. It's hard to pick.
Don't get me wrong. I quite like Shaqiri, but. It was like we put all our attacking players on the pitch in the hope that we'd just blow them away.
Well, it could bust down to it is, you know, you've the stable back line. We had a completely revamped front three. We had a completely changed midfield three, and we had two midfielders in the back four.
There's also something said that, like, look, you know, they clearly used to winning. They got to the competition and stuff like that, and it felt like the first 10 minutes felt like, funny enough, the game the day before against Villa, where Monterey were good, like Liverpool were good, the kids.
Yeah.
And then we scored and I thought, that's them done.
Yeah.
And they never, and that's the reaction that you'd expect from professionals who are used to winning, rather than a side full of kids. They've gone, nah, fuck this, and 2 minutes later, they're level again.
Sorry, I meant to say, it was actually Fabinho who played in the Genk game, wasn't it? I think he played...
It was a 4-3-3 as well,
But what I mean is, Fabinho, everyone come out of that game going, I bet Fabinho, fuck me, he got hung out to dry by having Keita and Ox alongside him. And that's Fabinho, who's arguably the best number six in the world. And all of a sudden, Adam Lallana, who's had two pre-season games played in that position and probably a handful of training sessions and just gone, just pass the ball around a bit, Adam. That's all your job is. Yeah, understandably a bit cheeky. You mentioned it though, Dad. I thought Salah was absolutely tremendous throughout.
Absolutely.
You know, we've seen it a bit, particularly with the Naby Keita partnership.
I mean, those defenders were rough.
Yeah.
You know, they were good, but they didn't take any prisoners, did they? You know, and right from the word go, they were fouling him, and he was holding them off. And for the actual winning goal, without his genius, that would never have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it, Chris, where I've been a bit critical of him about how him being like, you know, he just wants to be on the end of it. He wants to be the guy who scores the goals. When he plays like that, Well, it just shows how good an all-round footballer is, because Mane's drawing all the plaudits, because I think you see it. I feel his all-round game is better than Salah's. But you look at the through ball is perfect for Keita for the first goal. And again, as mentioned in the build to the winner, his pace to get in behind, his battle, his fight, his close control to maintain it, to shift the ball to Trent. Just great.
Yeah, he's wonderful in that number nine role, actually. It's a shame we've got no one else who can play his role when he does it. Yeah. Because if he played with himself, he'd have a field day, wouldn't he? You know what I mean?
Double entendre, carry on. Can play with himself in his own time.
He'd love it, but I think it's his strength, though, isn't it? I think that's the thing that every time I see it, it surprises me. Especially when people are hanging off him and all that type of stuff, and he's backing in, and the ref didn't give us any protection last night, but I thought he was brilliant. And I think finally we're seeing the real Mo Salah again. The last sort of three games, he really looks like those right footed goals have pecked him.
It's a weird game, and I actually, we'll talk about a bit about this on the build up show, Ben, for Flamengo, of course. But it was the mad dichotomy in that game was they were rough and they were booting us, but also they were throwing themselves to the floor at the merest of touches. And that is an exacerbated version of what you see in Europe. And I just wonder whether it was a bit of a weird struggle for the lads to get their heads round, where these lads can be absolute brutes when you've got the ball, but just turn into massive fannies when it's gone the other way around.
That was the word that I was thinking of, yeah. I didn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know. I don't know whether it's just because, you know, I've seen a fair bit of Spanish football, and that's what they do in Spain, and therefore, I mean, I don't know if that's a connection that I should be making, but like, I just expected it. Obviously, there's that clip that you were showing before before I started filming, of Andy Robertson just going, honestly, like, you know, it's just fucking hell. Honestly. Like, they're clearly getting frustrated. I think the fact that we touched on it earlier, you know, they were going down with cramp, and the referee like stopped play from having cramp in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
Okay, he's in the middle of the pitch, but come on, it's cramp. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's not injured, is he? You know, and I think that was starting to not get into the players' heads, but it was starting to wind them up, probably because they were getting frustrated with the fact that they weren't winning.
Yeah.
You know, and they were expecting to
it was
for the game to be going.
Yeah, than they probably hoped
and,
it would
and on
be.
Top of all of that, they're throwing themselves about, they're kicking people. You know, there's a fair few of them booked. And the referee's not helping either. So I think it was all just an accumulation of things.
Can we talk, Chris, about Jurgen Klopp's little spat with their manager?
He's brilliant.
And the picture of him mimicking with the card is one of the best things I've ever seen.
It's just class, isn't he? I mean, that he's right, though. You shouldn't be doing that as a manager, and it's disrespectful to the opposition. And you know, for me, it feels like they're bringing the game into disrepute almost, because you don't want to see that from players on the pitch, but you certainly don't want to see it from managers, because you know that the players are going to copy and they're going to continue to do that. And it's just terrible. The ref's made a decision. He shouldn't be there going. And it wasn't even a yellow card offence.
He's fat. What?
Because he was looking for a second yellow card, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right.
So it wasn't a yellow card offence.
He
gets booked for the other one.
He didn't get booked for that one.
He gets booked for the one where he's going through and he tugs him back.
I thought that was sorry.
No, it was
he wanted a handball. It was a handball.
Yeah, his hand was there and the ball goes there and he's
he wanted him booked because he'd have been sent off.
Exactly. That's the issue.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Not right at all.
Yeah, so you're allowed to be upset about things, but you're right, the gestures are. But I love Klopp's reaction. But basically Klopp offers him out. Come here then, come and say it to my face, and then pulls a face out of it and ends up getting booked. But I thought it was funny because it means that, like, you can see Klopp's celebrations when we score. He has to contain himself because he doesn't want to end up getting sent off for missing the final or whatever. But yeah, I thought it was good fun. What do we think about Oxlade-Chamberlain?
If he picks up a yellow card in the final, is he suspended for next year's tournament?
Might be an issue.
Critchley out there next year, and he's in the quarterfinals of the Cup.
and he goes, oh, it's my chance to manage the first team, and Klopp decides to back the Carabao Cup this time. Yeah, absolutely. Ben, what do you think of Oxlade-Chamberlain? I did feel a bit like he had to kind of limit his game a little bit just to make sure Lallana wasn't left left all at sea. Keita ends up being the more advanced of the two.
Yeah, that was definitely. I think when you play a midfield like that, you like the balance, getting the balance on the pitch is so important because it is an imbalanced midfield on paper. So you know there's a lot of responsibility on the players there to kind of self-police themselves and make sure that you know that there's work at both ends of the pitch being done. Yeah. And I think for the most part, to be honest, that was handled quite well. I thought Keita, you know, really did shine. You know, when he gets on the ball and he drives forward, you could tell that he was basically almost playing the 10. You know, Chamberlain was then sort of kind of filling in, doing almost more of a Wijnaldum role sometimes. I felt, you know, just doing the simple things correctly, you know, making sensible passes, not doing too much flamboyant stuff. And I think it worked well. You know, obviously we all like to see Chamberlain in a more explosive role, but you know, in games like that where maybe things aren't going quite to plan and you know they're looking to hit you on the counter attack, you've got to be a bit more conservative.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a weird game. It was just a weird game all over, wasn't it? Let's talk about the stuff toward the end then, Chris and Bobby Firmino. I think he's been struggling of late. You know, he's looked leggy. It was the right decision to get some more minutes back into his legs, but I mean, look, to come on and win the game is not going to do him any harm.
No, and not in that manner and stuff. I mean, you know, you've talked about the virtues of Salah's role in it, but Trent Alexander-Arnold's role in it. I mean, as much as Salah led Keita for the first goal, this wasn't that. This was, he sees Firmino, sees three people in front of him, works out the angles of where they're going to be, the speed that they're moving at and where the legs are going to be in the stride, and just sort of dinks it through and like caresses
I was moaning because I wanted him to lift the ball.
Yeah.
And when I saw that he'd not done that, and then it was in the back of the net, and I thought, you know, I was absolutely shocked.
The pass doesn't exist, Dad. Yeah. That pass is not, it does not exist. Mm. The levels of genius that Trent Alexander-Arnold has shown there, you know, footballing genius. You know, Kevin De Bruyne does that, and everyone's saying, well, that's why he's the best midfielder in the world, because he's got the ability to pick those passes. It's not on, I love this, there's a still of it when he's just about to make contact, and Firmino's in the centre of the six-yard box, basically on the edge, and it's like, how does he know? But obviously, it's part, you know, just instinct or ability, but also part from the training ground, he'll know to make that run to the front post and what have you. But it's just, I haven't got the word. The more I watch it, the more I am astounded.
It's sublime.
Yeah,
it's absolutely astounded. Sublime. And, you know, Harry Kewell was talking, because you said there you wanted him lifted to the back. Harry Kewell said, I'd have lifted that to the back. Mm. And this is a winger who's in that position his entire career. Yeah. Basically saying this 20-year-old, 21-year-old is seeing things on the pitch that I never saw and still don't see, having the experience of 30 years growing up in football.
Yeah.
And that's something I really like.
And it does help to have a player like Bobby Firmino there on the end of it, because for him, putting that away is his bread and butter, isn't it?
Well, we've talked about him not being enough of a goal scorer. That's a predatory goal scorer's goal and, you know, a run, isn't it?
Mm. I mean, the one thing he hasn't been lacking, Bobby, is his ability. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the last game against Watford, he was dreadful in that game. Mm-hmm. And I argued about the game before, but against Watford, he was dreadful. But at all times, he's trying to do things.
Yeah.
He never lets go of his skill.
Yeah.
And when he came on last night, the first thing he did was like drop his shoulder and go past two defenders, and the crowd roared. Yeah. And I thought, ooh, right, Bobby's on it.
Yeah,
you know. And I could imagine there'd be an awful lot of players on the pitch last night who would have missed that chance with Bobby scored.
Yeah, absolutely.
Simply because the actual deftness of the touch is brilliant.
Yeah. Origi has a big chance, doesn't he? Probably around the 85, maybe a little bit sooner than that. And he does basically what happened at the weekend, but there's no Mo Salah to sneak it in this time.
Yeah.
I think hopefully a goal for Bobby there does him a world of good in terms of confidence. You know, he'll go into the game on Saturday now. It's a Brazilian side, he'll be bang up for it. You know, I'm hoping that he starts, but he'll have a little bit of an extra boost. I did see a stat, you know, last night saying that he's now scored more goals in Qatar than Merseyside this season, which is quite funny. But hopefully, you know, we get through the Christmas period and, you know, he picks up one or two more goals, you know, that changes. You know, when we head into January where, okay, we've gone through our toughest period of, like, fixture congestion, but you know, we've got some big games coming up in January, and it'd be good for him to be getting more, to a higher level of form for the likes of Spurs and Man United on the horizon.
Yeah, completely, completely. I mean, look, Ben, ultimately, it's not how we would have chosen to go through, but, you know, it made it for a more interesting game, didn't it? You know, a bit of drama, no dead rubber.
Never in doubt,
Paul.
Never in doubt.
I hope it's not 3-0 at half-time, because I don't want it to be a dead rubber. Well, you got your wish.
Yeah.
Right to the last minute. I mean, look, the most important thing is, again, we've avoided that embarrassment. We've taken it out of the conversation. We're just in the final like we're meant to be, and that's what the focus will become.
Yeah, it's job done. I mean, at the end of the day, we'll look back on it and we'll say, job done. You know, I mean, I think the key thing, you know, that Klopp was happy about was just avoiding extra time and avoiding having to keep players on the pitch for another half an hour where really we shouldn't have needed to. You know, I think in an ideal world, it would have been wrapped up by 70 minutes and we'd have made different changes. I'm sure he would have liked to have given Curtis Jones some minutes on the pitch. You know, I'm sure he wouldn't have, I'm sure he'd prefer to have kept Sadio Mane on the bench, but I think it got to a point where, you know, he knew he needed to win the game and he was willing to risk putting those players on to avoid extra time and to avoid going out. And that was obviously it's paid off.
And it will absolutely help. I think it was on the agenda somewhere. It absolutely helps that they've had a tough game.
Yeah.
You know, they
it's
will
on
not
the
be.
T- for my
God. But, you know, and it will do. Because they're not going to take anybody lightly in this competition anymore. You know, they probably and did
they,
take them
they know the kind of players are going to come up against them. And I don't think. Everything I've heard about Flamengo is that they don't necessarily play like a Brazilian side. They're a bit more European. But the players are still going to be the same style of players. Yeah. They're going to have great close control. They're going to shoot on sight, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's worth knowing that, isn't it?
Also, again, maybe it's something we will talk about in the intense-match build-up, but I think Liverpool have probably scouted Flamengo, whereas I don't think they did Monterrey, because I think they'd always assume... You wouldn't take it for granted, but you probably got one eye on it, a Liverpool-Flamengo final, whereas they didn't have a clue on Saturday and they probably didn't have the resources to go and look at Al-Halad whoever Monterrey beat. And
it would be nice to know that, in hindsight, would Klopp play a different side against Monterrey?
I think now that it's done, the answer's no, isn't it? You know, ultimately, gamble. It paid off, like Aston Villa away.
Well, it paid off in that he had to bring on Mane and Firmino and
it's a sliding scale of gamble, isn't it? Is with being that if you can get through that game without having to use them off the bench at all, then it's absolutely perfect. If you have to bring them on for, and then it's the amount of minutes you're having to use them for, is the decrease in the success from the gamble. But yeah, I mean, obviously,
if we were there next year and we played Monterrey in the semis, we'd play a better side than we did last year.
But again, I keep coming down to it. If it's circumstantial, there wasn't much more we could do with the back with the defensive midfield.
You were stuck. The back four had to be the back four, didn't it?
Yeah.
The midfield was.
And we had to start the front three against Watford because we wanted to get the 3 points in the bag in the Premier League before you go. So he was all. He was always going to rotate for this game. Yeah. But I just don't. Again, it's not rotation.
Ginny's not fit enough to have played.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
He might well have played if he'd been.
With Gini Wijnaldum and Virgil van Dijk in that team, I think we win that game comfortably because you've got Gini Wijnaldum playing the six. Mate, or Henderson playing the six, you can actually rotate. You could have chosen not to play Jordan Henderson at all in that game if you wanted to, or chosen not to play Wijnaldum. But yeah, look, you know, we got there at the end, didn't we? The faces, I put the photos out on Twitter, the faces in here at the end, like, oh my God. wasn't looking for that to be like that, but as you write, it's been the story of the match, so story of the season so far, hasn't it? It's a long way that can.
I do like Liverpool playing every night, though.
Yeah. Shame they're not playing tonight, really, isn't it? Thank you very much for watching and for listening to The Final Word. The build-up show is coming for Flamengo, and The Final Word for that will be out on Monday afterwards. But yeah, thank you very much. We'll see you all soon. Ta-da.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.